We are in 1 Peter tonight, and I think we'll get you home on time, so no worries about that. But I do invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And I have been encouraged by the other messages on 1 Peter. I would invite you just to think for a minute about the major themes of the book that we've already looked at together. 1 Peter, of course, is written to folks who are more than likely converts from another place like Rome, who've been scattered out into Asia Minor, and they're suffering. It's a difficult life. And so our brothers have helped us think about what it means to be faithful when they're suffering, what it means to live a holy life, what it means to follow Jesus as our example, submitting to authority, and then of course that great chapter 2, where we're reminded of our identity in Christ. And don't forget that these people have been moved from their homeland, more than likely, and so it's really important for them to think about their identity. Instructions for husbands and wives in chapter 3, and Christ's example there in 3:18, and then chapter 4, we looked at more suffering that happens to Christians, but that these are sufferings that Christ himself experienced, and so we should entrust our souls to God, it says at the end of chapter 4, verse 19. So let me read 1 through 7, then I will pray, and we will dive in. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Let's pray. Lord, again, we come to you, thankful for your word, thankful for how abundantly available it is to us in many different languages. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help me, O Lord, to speak words that would demonstrate that our meditations are pleasing to you, and the words of my mouth also find favor from you. Lord, speak through me and challenge us, encourage us, refresh us through your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I like titles, and I kind of wanted to play around with a title for this one. It's really simple, but I think it will help us. You ready for it? Step up. Bow down. Cast away. You know how that works, right? Step up, shepherds. But bow down, all of us, in humility, and let's cast away our cares on the Lord. I think that's what Peter's getting at here at the end. Remember who the author is. It's Peter. Interesting. He's the one who denied the Lord 3 times. Remember that? And then the Lord restored him 3 times at the end of John and said to him, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, care for my sheep. So when he says he's a fellow elder, a fellow shepherd, surely that is in his mind. Anybody have an idea how old Peter was when he wrote this? People think it was maybe late teens, early 20s at the most when he had that encounter with Jesus. And so probably in his 50s now, 55, 56, who knows, somewhere in his 50s. And he gives really, I would say, 4 instructions here. 2 instructions are to specific people, and then there are 2 instructions that are for all of us. The first instruction is to the elders. And he says, shepherd, verse 2, the flock of God that is among you. Now you might wonder why he would need to say that. Scholars look at this particular situation and they suggest, I think rightly, that more than likely these were elders from different churches outside of Asia Minor. And now they'd been moved to a different place. They were aliens and strangers. And life was difficult. You were suffering. So what if you were an elder in Rome? I don't really want to do this right now here. This is a different scene. I don't even know some of these people. It's hard. So perhaps we can't know for sure, but perhaps that's why Peter is saying, you shepherd the flock of God that is among you, your lot, literally, the flock that is there now, step up and shepherd them. Exercise oversight, he says. And then there's three knots. Knots do this way and not that way. You can see those in verse 2. Shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Now, I want to invite you to think with me about that. I kind of get not under compulsion, but willingly. Those are kind of opposites. What's with this? Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Have you thought about that? How do those fit together? Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. What do you think's going on there? The word for shameful gain is a pretty strong one. It's not just about having a little extra. It's about sort of dishonest gain or overly greedy. Again, if the scholars are right about shepherds who maybe came from Rome, now they're pastoring, eldering, overseeing in another place where life is really hard for them, perhaps the temptation was to do something else than shepherd these people because it was a difficult time. Everyone was suffering. There wasn't much to enjoy about shepherding God's people in the times in which 1 Peter's writing. I don't know if that's the case, but maybe it is. Not for shameful gain, he says, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, not lording it over them, as Jesus would say, Mark 10:45, but being examples to the flock. Four instructions to the elders. Step up, he says, lead, but lead in a specific way. Willingly, eagerly, and being examples or role models to the flock. Now that was then. I think those same words would apply to those of us who are shepherds today. We are to oversee, feed, protect, provide, care for. A shepherd in those days took care of the sheep. Feeding them and keeping them safe were the primary duties of the shepherd. And again, that's what Jesus said, tend my sheep, feed the flock, take care of them. And so Peter says we should do this if we are elders, overseers, pastors. Those words are used interchangeably. Willingly, eagerly, as examples to the flock. So we'll come back to that in a minute. So that's the first specific instruction for shepherds. Step up. And then he says to the younger men, follow or respectfully submit to the elders. In verse 5, he says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Now, something I've noticed here, I see it in the New Testament in lots of places. It doesn't say, shepherds, would you please insist that those youngsters respect you and honor you? Hey, overseers, make sure those young people are subject to you. That's not what it says. It says, elders, you lead well and willingly, be followable. That's your job. And then to the younger men and perhaps women, though I think it's probably men in this case, be subject to the elders. Make their job easy, as it says in Hebrews. Be the kind of people under the oversight of the elders that makes their job a joy and not a burden. Follow the leadership of your shepherds. I think that's what he's saying there in verse 2. excuse me, verse 5. So, shepherds, here's a certain way you're supposed to lead. Younger men, be subject, submissive, basically follow the elders. And then the two instructions that are for everyone, bow down. Be humble. Everyone, humble yourselves. Clothe yourselves, he says in 5b, all of you. That means everyone. With humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And we were laughing about this the other day. Humility is easy when you're by yourself. Funny little story I'd like to tell. I'm trying to think of a name that's not represented here. Well, there's only one Robert right now, so we can use his name. Robert was working on humility in his prayer closet. He prayed a lot. He read the scriptures quite a bit. And he would rate himself daily on his humility all by himself in his prayer closet. And he'd give himself a 9, 9.5, maybe a 10. He could spend hours in prayer and reading the Bible. And he came to church to talk to his pastor one day about humility. And he said to his pastor, I think I'm a 9.5 on humility. And he said, well, how in the world did you arrive at that rating, Robert? And Robert said, well, you know, I pray a lot. I read the Bible a lot. And the pastor said, you know, humility is about how you treat other people. It's not something you can do by yourself. It's interesting, isn't it? Maybe that's why Peter said, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility, not in your prayer closets, toward one another. Humility is practiced in the presence of one another. Humility is easy when we get to make all the calls. Humility becomes less easy when the shepherds or the deacons or the elders or the pastors or our life class leader decides something that isn't our preference. It's harder to be humble. One more funny story. I love stories like this that I translate from Central Asian sort of folklore into English, so we'll see if this one works. There was a guy whose name is Nasruddin Hoja or Hoja Nasruddin or Nasruddin, who was a Muslim, but I think this humility sort of story still works. So he was out looking at the expanse of the sky and the wonderful stars and the beauty of the night, and he went inside the mosque and he fell down on his face and he said, I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing. And a rich man from the neighborhood came in and saw Mullah, pastor, Nasruddin on the floor saying, I am nothing, I am nothing. He thought, that's what I'm supposed to do. So he got down on his hands and knees and said, I am nothing. Oh, God, I am nothing. And then the man who cleaned the building came in, saw them doing that, got down on his knees and said, oh, I also, I'm nothing, I am nothing. And the rich man said to Nasruddin, where does he get off saying, I am nothing? We laugh. There's a message there, isn't there, about humility. How dare he pretend to be humble? I'm the humble one here. Yeah, Peter says, clothe yourself. Put it on so that it's your garment all the time. Put on humility toward one another. And why? Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I want to veer into application here for just a minute. I think when it says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility, one way to apply this is to think about when you're presented with an option or a decision, or you have to respond to an option or a decision, or you're interacting with others, that it's always right to take the low road, to bow down. You know, the high road just getting our own way, it seems like a shortcut. But in the end, here's what happens. You pursue the path of pride and arrogance, and you're a follower of Jesus. God will make sure that there are a lot of detours in your path, because he opposes the proud and he wants to make you humble. So if you think the shortcut is the prideful, arrogant way, God loves us so much, he's going to oppose you. He's going to put roadblocks in your way so that you realize that's not the way. The right way is the low road, the path of humility. God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. And I think that at a macro level, in terms of people who are only proud and arrogant and never will bow the knee to Jesus, that's absolutely true. It's also true in our own lives. When we try to get tricky and be proud and think that God is going to give us grace, it's very clear. This verse occurs many times in the Bible, what Peter says here. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So when we've taken the high road and refused to bow down and we hit a roadblock, we should thank God that he's trying to show us, look, if you just would humble yourself, you're going to find grace. There's no grace on that road. And who better to tell us this than Peter? I'll never deny you. Others may. I'm not going to do that. And then he did. And the good news is that God met him later. Jesus met him and said, you know, I love you. Three times he said, I love you, Peter. You go feed my sheep. So there is grace for the humble. But beware of those things that look like shortcuts. The worldly, it's going to exalt me. I'm going to, great for my reputation. No. The low road, bowing down, is for the elders and the shepherds. It's also for the younger men. It's for everyone, Peter says. And then there's another encouragement for all of us. Everyone, cast your cares on the Lord. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, there's that humility word again, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Again, remember, these people are suffering, probably displaced, more than likely persecuted for their faith, finding it very difficult to be a faithful follower of Jesus. Lots of anxieties. And again, the word here isn't about minor cares. It's about really heavy stuff. Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Well, what's the connection between humility and anxiety? Have you ever stopped to consider that one of the reasons that we get anxious is because of our own pride and self-reliance? We think, you know, if I don't figure this out, what's going to happen tomorrow if I can't plan it all out on my own strength, forgetting that I'm living actually under the mighty hand of God? I'm just going to have to be anxious about it. And humility reminds us that we live every moment of our lives under the mighty hand of God, and that we're not God. I'm still trying to learn this lesson, but I am not the event coordinator of the universe. Boy, I'd like to be sometimes. And I get anxious when I can't be. Like, please tell me exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. Please tell me how that medical report's going to return. Please tell me what's going to happen when I see this person. No, we need to humble ourselves. We are not God. Now, you all know that. I know we're a gospel-believing church. We all know that we are not God. But sometimes we act like we are. We can figure it all out. I'm pretty sure that's what Peter means here. He says, don't be like that. Humble yourselves. You are under the mighty hand of God, the same hand that delivered the people of Israel from Egypt, the same hand that raised Jesus from the dead. And at the proper time, he will exalt us. So we can cast our anxieties on him because he cares for us. So four instructions there. Two for specific people. Shepherds, pastors, overseers, elders. Yeah. What he says there is that we're to be examples. We're to serve willingly, eagerly. And we're not to domineer or lord it over others. The passage that he's referring to more than likely from Jesus' own teaching says Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. We're not to lord it over people, we're to serve them as Jesus has served us. So there's a word for all of us who are elders. And I think by extension, anyone who exercises any kind of authority at all. Parents, older adults, teachers, bosses, coaches, mentors, life class leaders, child care leaders. We're all to be examples. We're not to insist on our own way. We're to be humble. And to the younger people, just a reminder, sometimes it's not that the older people know better. It's just that this is God's order in the church. And you might have a better idea than someone who's in a position of eldership or shepherding, but insofar as it's a matter of indifference, for the sake of order, I think Peter says, just follow the leaders. I think there's a good reason Hebrews tells us that the elders, the shepherds, the overseers will have to give an account for the souls of every member of the church. It's a huge responsibility. And perhaps it helps sometimes those who are not in positions of eldership who are younger to recognize elders have an awful lot to worry about without having to argue with you about whether the meeting should be at 6 p.m. or at 5 p.m. It's not that you might not be right, but there are pressing matters that you may not be aware of. And perhaps that's also why Peter had to say, step up, because shepherding and eldering is not a walk in the park. And we need the encouragement, brother elders, pastors, overseers, yeah, to do this eagerly and willingly, and to do it in a manner that is humble, and to be examples to the flock. So that's all I have to say tonight. But that's probably enough. So let me close with prayer. Thank you for being a wonderful congregation to serve. And thank you for giving me the privilege of opening your word twice today. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for all the interactions you had with Peter. And thank you for bearing with him and restoring him and sustaining his life so that he could write this letter and other letters to us. Lord, we want to humble ourselves before you. We're just glad when we're in our right mind, we're really glad that we're not in control. So would you hear us say, Lord, we want to humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We really do. And Lord, those of us who are in positions of oversight, we do want to be good examples. Help us be good examples. Help us to love those we lead. And Father, those of us who follow, Lord, would you help us to be humble, that we would follow gladly and joyfully. And Lord, all of us you call to humble ourselves. Would you remind us when we're tempted to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, or to try to take matters into our own hands, or to be wise in our own eyes? Lord, remind us what an offense that is to you, especially since you have promised to take care of us, that you care for us, and that it's your mighty hand that cares. Remind us that you give grace to the humble. So Lord, we desperately need your grace, so help us to be a humble people. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the Lord Jesus who at every moment did exactly as you pleased. We thank you that, as verse 10 says, if we can just persevere for a while, the Lord Jesus is coming back, and he will reward those who are waiting for him. So may we be those kinds of people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.